Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Waffle Gang, I do hope you are well. My name is Mark, and today we're checking out some more Reddit stories. And if you do love a Reddit story, why not consider hitting that like, subscribe, maybe that notification bell too. And let's crack on with today's first story. Much love to you guys. And today's first story comes from the Am I Wrong subreddit from Chimney4684 and says, "My wife told me I'm replaceable. I, 30 male, have been married to my wife, 29 female, for 2 years, and we've known each other for 6. A few weeks ago, we had an argument, and during our disagreement, she told me that I am replaceable. After our argument, she went out with her friends. I've been dealing with some health problems for a while, and the argument stressed me out, leaving me nervous and unwell. I was alone in the house and decided to call the paramedics because I felt that something was really wrong. To sum up, I suffered a heart attack. In the hospital, they tried to reach my wife, but she didn't respond, likely still upset from our argument. She called later after coming home, when she found out I am not there. After learning of my condition, she came to see me and stayed with me the entire time, constantly crying and holding my hand. After being sent home, she did everything so I could recover faster. However, despite her efforts, I couldn't stop thinking about how she had told me that I'm replaceable. I constantly think about it. I want to confront her about it, but I don't think I'm ready. I'm trying to understand why context matters. In what way or situation is it acceptable to call your partner replaceable? The audacity to even say something like that is beyond me. I will answer some things here. We have no children. I have genetic health problems. External factors also contributed to my problems. I have a higher salary than her, so I mostly pay the bills or buy things for our home. I mostly cook and clean. She does it too, but mostly me. It's not 50-50, more like 60-40. She isn't actively trying to kill me. I hope so, at least. I don't know if she has a fuck buddy. Let's also address the elephant in the room. We had an argument about our house. Some issues with it. After that, we also discussed our priorities, careers, and intimacy. At one point, discussion was replaced by her venting and saying things not even related to the original discussion. I had no issues with her ranting about things until she told me that I'm replaceable. That was the end of the conversation. I no longer wanted to talk. She finds my silence terrifying, but she didn't stay in the house for long after the argument. I don't know when she came home. I woke up in the hospital and she was there. She kept crying and holding my hands. She didn't speak much. She couldn't. On the side note, some people in the comment section have some issues themselves, like some of the comments are just wild, horrifying, as usual. But there's being angry in the moment, and then they're saying something that's cruel, and what she said was absolutely cruel, and like yourself, I don't know how I would look past that. It's something that would always sit in your mind. I mean, why wouldn't it, being told that you are replaceable? I mean, it could be, you know, something that she didn't really mean in the heat of the moment kind of stuff. I could never imagine saying something like that, even in the heat of the moment. But there was a highly upvoted comment that everyone was pointing out. Pretty Pandemonium said, "My husband once said to me, wives are replaceable, mothers are not. Mum will always win. Within the year, our 9-year marriage collapsed. The context was finding out how deeply involved his mother was in our marriage. Arguments, decisions, etc. We were not arguing, but having a discussion about how it wasn't right to basically have a third person in the marriage, that it was between the two of us. The way I found out was during a discussion about investments we had made. I got up from the table we were talking at and found his phone on the counter with Mum showing on screen. He'd call her and had her listen into our discussion. so he could take it to her after we were done. I disconnected the call without comment, and she called back immediately. He vehemently disagreed that it wasn't right and made that statement to me, basically stating that it was he and his mum against me and I'd always lose, while she was still on the phone listening in. It was like a gut punch. It opened my eyes to a lot of little things that eventually led to filing for divorce. He was stunned. His mum called me and immediately said, "You can't do that." "Oh yes, I can," and did. As a petty move, I served his mother the divorce papers at the same time so she could be involved in the divorce. Lol. $50 well spent in my opinion. She came to our hearing and was so vocal about what she thought was right and wrong, and the judge ordered her out of the courtroom. Lol. He's her full-time problem now. They've been living together since the separation, and she's miserable about it. They deserve each other. Holy moly, a story within a story. I can see why that was upvoted. Nearly Pointless says, "You can forgive her for what she said, but you will never forget how she made you feel in the moment." This is why we don't name call or let our anger overwhelm our kindness. It's okay to be angry, but to be cruel is not acceptable. Tiny Ad says, "I think you need space, my friend, to think this all through. What she said can't be put back into the bottle. Even if said in anger, even if she didn't mean it, you'll never 100% know. Clearly your health will be better without this level of stress. I don't know what is causing your heart problems, whether it's fitness, diet, or just a heart condition, but clearly you need time to rest, mentally and physically, and build up some cardiac resilience. I strongly suggest listening to your doctors and potentially living separately from your wife for a month or two. I don't really care if your marriage doesn't survive that, as long as you do. Not the asshole, look after yourself. You can't live if your heart gives out." And one more comment from Formica who says, "Technically, we're all replaceable. You still don't say that to someone you supposedly love." Opie gives their first little update and says, "I've decided to separate for a month. We will go to a counselor and speak maybe 1 to 2 times a week. If she cares about me, she will accept it and do everything she can to improve our relationship and marriage. If she starts playing around, going on dates, or if I suspect her of cheating, I will end it. There won't be any forgiveness or second chances. We'll make an update post sometime in the future. So many of you reached out and offered support and advice. I think the least I can do is provide you with an update. Thank you all very much." 6 weeks later, Opie comes in with another update and says, "As promised, here's an update on my situation. I won't go into much detail, just the most important things. Physically, I'm doing great. I've started working out again, although at a slower pace than before. With time, it will get better. Separation really helped me a lot. Firstly, I might sound selfish, but I only worried about myself, so I did everything for myself. At first, it was a different feeling. I felt alone for the first time in a really long time, and I needed a few days to get used to it. After I got used to it, it was actually quite nice. I got to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. I bought myself a lot of things, redecorated a bit, changed some old things, and honestly, I liked it. There was no stress, no arguments, no problems. It was peaceful and quiet. I got myself a cat, and the two of us get along really well. I spoke to my wife on a weekly basis. We also went to a counselor, which really changed a lot of things. Whenever we went there, I laid all the cards on the table. I was really honest, maybe too honest, and I said a lot of things that had accumulated over time. Every annoyance, issue, pretty much everything I thought could be way better. My wife took the separation really hard. It was really bad. For the first few days, she was fine, or she pretended to be. But as time progressed, it was clear she wasn't doing well. What I did was whenever we went to a counselor, I focused on only trying to figure out my marriage and issues with it. But as soon as I left the counselor, I checked out. Like a switch, I didn't want to bring any of it home and disturb my peace. My wife also started individual therapy for her own mental health and issues that have been present for some time. I asked her if she cheated on me, and honestly, I expected some outburst of rage or yelling, but there wasn't any of it. She was really sweet and told me no, and that she understands why I might think that. And she offered her phone and her social media accounts for me to check. For some reason, I decided to be a dick, and I told her that maybe she deleted and covered her tracks. She has no proof of anything. Again, no yelling or anything, just really sad look in her eyes. I realized that I went too far, and I apologized. Time passed and I decided to let it go. So I told her that I forgive her and that I will give her another chance. Honestly, I wanted some form of revenge, but while revenge might be sweet, everything after it is bitter. I also told her that I won't forget her words. Anyway, she came back to my house and everything changed. No longer am I doing most of the stuff. She now works just as hard, maybe even more than me, and she doesn't allow me to do certain things, much to my annoyance. We will continue going to a counselor for a little bit longer, and she is still going to her individual therapy. While I liked being alone, I truly missed her. I missed her hair, her smile, her eyes, and now I find myself looking at her and paying attention to everything she does. I guess separation made us appreciate each other way more than before. Maybe we took each other for granted, and we didn't value each other until we split. I think we fell in love again. I can't describe it, but each hug, each touch feels different, like it radiates with sincerity and love. As for the future, I'm planning a trip in secret as a surprise, so we can go out of town for a few days, just the two of us. Time alone really helped me relax and not worry about unimportant things. I focused on myself and what I want my marriage to be, and my life. So now I'm going to work towards that. We really learned to communicate much better than before. We became much more open towards each other, more vulnerable. I think it will help us going forward. I guess after all, it turns out that I'm not so easily replaceable. And on the back of that, Optimal Super says, "Happy to hear you guys are able to work things out. It was tough tunnels to go through, but the relationship seems to have gotten stronger on the other side, and that's awesome. It was a blessing in disguise." Opie says we are still working on it, and we will continue to do so. Things are way better than they used to be. There are still some differences and things we need to work on, or at least find a middle ground, which will probably be resolved in future counseling sessions. Interesting update, and you know, I'm super glad that Opie's health initially is in the right place and their relationship is moving towards a better place as well, and that they do value each other in a different way than they did before, or maybe a rekindled way or something like that. As I was first going through that update, I thought, oh, they're not going to last, and because Opie's found this freedom and they was really enjoying it. So I thought when they got to that counseling session and Opie was bringing up her potentially cheating on him, I thought it was like, you know, his way of getting out of that relationship, if you like, you know, just saying, I want out of this kind of thing. I don't really want us to be together anymore. But, you know, they did get together. But that's how it made me feel as I was reading that initial update. But now I'm going to turn this one to you guys. What do you guys make of this situation? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below. And let's move on to another story.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
And our next story comes from Large Knowledge 1699 and says, "Am I the asshole here for calling divorce immediately after finding out my wife emotionally cheated on me? I found out my wife was cheating on me emotionally last week. I found it through a notification when she was in the shower. We are both 33 and married for 6 years. In my eyes, everything was good. Funny how one can hide their betrayal without the other party noticing. I confronted her right away and told her to open the phone to show me the messages. She refused at first, but gave up after I told her we're getting a divorce. The texts were not that old, and there were not many. It was obvious most of the texts were deleted. I asked her questions about the affair. Why, who, where, and how. I will not go into details as I want to stay anonymous, but I was trickle-truthed in the end. She got caught and trickle-truthed me. I do not believe her and what she said about the extent they went. At the beginning of our relationship, I made it very clear that cheating in any form is a relationship ender. I told her to get a lawyer because we're getting a divorce. She asked me for marriage counseling, promised to change, and even make her life completely dependent on me, leave the job, not leave the house, and give me all of her digital devices. I told her where marriage counselling would help was before she decided to have an affair. We could go to marriage counselling and solve the problem there by talking, whichever problem she had. Instead, she went on to have an emotional affair and made sure to actively hide things from me by deleting texts and trickle-truthing. I reminded her of my boundaries and what I told her about them in the beginning of the relationship. I will hand the divorce papers to her this month, and she's telling me to reconsider. Am I the arsehole in this situation? I never understand people, like, after they've done this, they've trickle-truthed their way through it, and, you know, they finally get called out, and then they go for this desperation, this last reach at their relationship, and they say, you know, you can have complete control over me, basically. I won't leave the house. You can have all my devices, and, you know, I'll basically serve you. And it's like, could you imagine living like that? Even for OP, could you imagine having someone around the house like that? That is just like no way to live, is it? And something that would never be sustainable. But like with a lot of these stories that I read, it's once the trust is gone, how do you ever get that back? And, you know, trickle-truthing even makes it in some way worse, does it? Because it's just like a series of lies, one after the other, that you're having to force out of this person. But Lex says, not the arsehole. The trickle-truth is the problem that makes reconciliation a non-starter. You can't trust her. All the things she's willing to do now are band-aids. Who wants to be married with someone who can't have a life outside of you because they may cheat again? She made her choice. Don't let her drag out the inevitable. Blue Green says, not the arsehole. You clearly stated a boundary and what the consequences would be. Now she's shocked that you actually meant what you said. Divorce her and get her out of your house. And I know this isn't the point, but I think a boundary about cheating or emotionally cheating isn't something that really needs to be discussed in the first place anyway. It should be just a given, right? It's not like she could have turned around and said, wow, we didn't discuss this at the start. But humble guidance says, I've been married for 36 years. Trust and love are the currencies of a successful relationship. If you don't think that you can ever trust her again, then leave. If you still love her, want to save the marriage, then try therapy. Only you know what you feel strongest about. I wish you luck. Enjoy. And a final comment from Bored at Home, who says, not the arsehole. She wants you to reconsider because she hadn't gone far enough with her affair partner to know that he would take her after you divorced. You've only been married 6 years. If she's investing her emotions with someone else, the marriage is doomed. If this affair ends, what's going to stop the next one? Unless you become her jailer. But no, that's a doomed marriage. So OP comes in with an update and says, it's 100% divorce now. I think I was looking to relax and validate my logic with that post. Love is there, but trust is broken. My heart told me to have hope, but my logic told me divorce. Logic won in the end. It's been over a week now, and I still do not get the full information about the affair. Yesterday night and this morning, after the post, I came to learn new information about the affair. I'm still not sure if it's the full extent. To clarify the emotional affair part, they sexted, sent nudes to each other, and there was I love yous involved. If it's not cheating, I do not know what it is. Whatever. I still don't know the full truth, and she refuses disclosing who exactly the affair partner is. My trust level for her is so low that she could say sky is blue and I would doubt it. This relationship is just over. Dead. I will go ahead with a divorce as soon as possible so I can process my feelings alone after she leaves. Some people told me I would not be able to find anyone at 33 as a male. This is the last thing I worry about after divorce. First thing is to get over the relationship and put myself together better than ever. I'm planning starting individual therapy right after I sort things out. I can date after that easily. Hope seeing you with a happy divorce update and in a better mood. Who the fuck's telling OP that he won't find anyone at 33? The absolute Berks. You will, OP, and I do wish you all the best going forward. I'm sorry for what you're going through. And like you said, without the trust, what is there? And the fact that she won't even disclose any information now still says an absolute lot. You know, she was throwing everything at you in the very first post that, you know, she would stay home, you can have her phone, etc., etc. But she won't even give you any extra information now. Absolute bullshit, and you're better off out of it. I hope the therapy does help you. And please do give us that update in the future and how you're getting on. Would love to hear it. But now, what do you guys make of this situation? Let's have another story. And our final story is just a cheeky little one from the Am I the Arsehole subreddit from Am I the Arsehole Car Seat Drama, who says, Am I the Arsehole for not giving my pregnant friend a car seat? I, 26 female, have a 1-year-old daughter. She is still using her infant car seat. However, we were hit about a month ago, and while we weren't hurt, I no longer felt like the car seat was safe, so I replaced it. My pregnant friend Anne, 24 female, asked if she could have the car seat since I was just throwing it out anyway. Oh, no, 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 no. I explained that the car seats are made to withstand one accident, and I didn't think it was safe for my daughter or hers. She is a known dumpster diver, so I wrote on the car seat in permanent marker that it was in a car accident, and I took out the straps when I threw it away so it wasn't usable and kept them to throw away later. Anne went through my trash and called me selfish for wasting a perfectly good car seat, and said I haven't been helpful to her at all. I organized her baby shower, gave her a lot of my daughter's old clothes except for sentimental outfits because she asked, commissioned baby blankets and 2 outfits from a friend of mine whose work she likes, helped her around the house, etc. I've tried my best. I don't feel like not wanting to risk her daughter dying makes me the arsehole. But does it? Now, I don't know too much about the safety thing around it or the intricacies of it, but I know if, like Opie said, if these seats have been in any accident, you've got to replace them because you don't know what damage has been done to that seat, what stress has been put under, if it's weak in the material, etc. But as always with Reddit, there's an expert in the comments. So Kittenhiber says, not the arsehole, I'm a former licensed child passenger safety technician working with NHTSA. You were absolutely correct in what you told your friend. Car seats are made to withstand one accident, after which they need to be replaced due to potential damage, including hairline fractures and damage that is not immediately visible. Even if they look and seem fine, an accident means they've been through enough stress and so are not 100% anymore, which means they are less safe for the baby. I hope your friend does come around and listen to you, since you only have her and her baby's well-being in mind. Car seats may be expensive, yes, but there is no price worth a baby's life and safety. I don't think we really need to cover any more comments in that. I did have a scout through just to see if there was like any differing opinions, see if anyone dared say you're the arsehole, but there wasn't. So I'll be interested to know if any of you guys have a different opinion on that matter. But now I'm going to turn this one to you guys. What do you guys make of it? Let us know your thoughts. And just a huge thank you from the bottom of my heart for getting involved in today's stories. Your love, your support, your time always means the absolute world to me. And that is the absolute truth. And if you do have a moment and you haven't as yet, if you wouldn't mind clicking that like button, I know I say it every single episode, but I can't tell you the difference it does make to the channel. You know, that interaction, it all helps boost these videos and, you know, keeps me going basically. So thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next one. Take care and much love.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.